I wonder what temptations each of us are facing today. I don't know what they are, but I know that every one of us is facing temptation. For some of us, the temptation may be to have an affair with a colleague who understands us better than our spouse. The temptation to lie, to hide some of our failures from other people. The temptation to seize power by whatever means to shore up our position in the world. Perhaps the temptation to damage someone else's reputation as a preemptive strike against their power over you. Perhaps the temptation to exaggerate what God is doing in you so that you look good to others. Maybe the temptation to gossip about other people as a way of relieving your own frustration. The only certainty, none of these on this list might have spoken to you, but I can be certain that we are all struggling with temptation because it is everywhere and it comes out of our own hearts. And it is always tailored to fit us perfectly. C.S. Lewis, who wrote The Lion, the Witch and the Wardrobe and the whole Narnia series, also wrote a number of books for adults. And I read through them as a young Christian and found them amazing. One of the first that I read was the Screwtape Letters, which now that I think back was an interesting choice for someone who'd just come to faith. The tone of this book is really quite dark and wry, and frankly, it's brilliant. It observes the human capacity to be willing participants in our own deception, portraying our susceptibility to the lies of Satan, who is the great deceiver, the dangers and strategies that we are often blind to. This book is written as a series of letters between a junior tempter, Wormwood, and his uncle Screwtape. They are both in the active service of Satan. Their job is to help in the work of deceiving human beings, known as the patient. Screwtape is coaching his nephew in how to tempt human beings. The tempter's work is to keep people away from the enemy. That would be away from God, who is Satan's enemy. I read this book and think, I've fallen into this trap. Here is one example. And while he thinks that, too long a sentence to give you all of it, we do not have to contend with the explicit repentance of a definite, fully recognised sin, but only with his vague, though uneasy feeling that he hasn't been doing very well lately. This dim uneasiness needs careful handling. If it gets too strong, it may wake him up and spoil the whole game. On the other hand, if you suppress it entirely, which, by the way, the enemy will probably not allow you to do, we lose an element in the situation which can be turned to good account. If such a feeling is allowed to live, but not allowed to become irresistible and flower into real repentance, it has one invaluable tendency. It increases the patient's reluctance to think about the enemy. You know, those times when we just don't want to pray, don't want to read the Bible, don't want to think, because we're toying with a temptation. He nails it. He also talks about moments of breakthrough, such as this one. If once they get through this initial dryness successfully, they become much less dependent on emotion and therefore much harder to tempt. It's an encouraging book, if somewhat dark, but very, very true. In our lives, most of our successes and our losses will ultimately be shaped by what we do with our temptations. Even if we're Jesus. I want to read from Luke chapter 4. Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, left the Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness, where for 40 days he was tempted by the devil. He ate nothing during those days, and at the end of them he was hungry. The devil said to him, "If you are the Son of God, tell this stone to become bread." Jesus answered, "It is written, man shall not live on bread alone." The devil led him up to a high place and showed him in an instant all the kingdoms of the world. And he said to him, "I will give you all their authority and splendor. It has been given to me, and I can give it to anyone I want to. If you worship me, it will all be yours." Jesus answered, "It is written, worship the Lord your God and serve him only." The devil led him to Jerusalem and had him stand on the highest point of the temple. "If you are the Son of God," he said, "throw yourself down from here, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you to guard you carefully. They will lift you up in their hands so you will not strike your foot against a stone." Jesus answered, "It is said, do not put the Lord your God to the test." When the devil had finished all his tempting, he left him until an opportune time. Jesus returned to Galilee in the power of the Spirit, and news about him spread through the whole countryside. He was teaching in their synagogues, and everyone praised him. Jesus is seized with temptation, this sinless one, the Son of God, is seized with the temptations that are common to human beings. But his are on steroids. The temptation to turn stones into bread. The temptation to put hunger ahead of God. The temptation to seize the authority of the kingdoms of the world. And all of us are tempted to seize the authority of the kingdoms of the world. We might not have access to all of them, but we have access to some. And the temptation to make a show of his glory and splendor. What Jesus grapples with ultimately is the temptation to exercise power wrongly. We grapple with the same temptation. This is the temptation at the heart of all temptation. That was the sin in the Garden of Eden. The sin in the wilderness wanderings. The sin in Israel. We have free will, and the temptation is to use that to be God rather than obey God. We want to be little gods. Jesus is the Son of God, but he still has to decide what kind of Messiah he will be. And that will be determined by how he responds to temptation. He chooses to be the Son of God who defeats Satan at the most personal and intimate level by obedience to his Father in dealing with the temptations that are there in his mind, in his heart. where he is unseen by anybody else. Jesus chooses to do battle at the personal level before he does battle publicly. This is the order it has to be in for all of us. We will never win our battles anywhere else if we don't win these. If we have any hopes for victory in Jesus' name, we will attend to our private battles, to the siren songs that call us to the rocks. Most days, the lies of the evil one will have to be fought. The temptations will need to be rejected on Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday and Thursday and Friday and Saturday and Sunday and starting again the next week. Our victories and our losses will be shaped by how we deal with those temptations. Always. Do you notice that Jesus quotes scripture against each temptation? He knows the scriptures, and that is how he answers these temptations. To the temptation to turn stones into bread, he quotes, "Man shall not live by bread alone." Jesus knows that his physical needs and desires are important, but loyalty to God even more so. To the temptation to seize the glory of the kingdoms of the world, he quotes, "Worship the Lord your God and serve him only." Jesus is becoming the world's true king. But the way that he becomes king of the world and the mode in which he operates is humble service rather than flashy seeking after power and status. It is the road of downward mobility. Jesus is the Son of God, the rightful King of the earth, but he doesn't cling on to his status. Instead, he serves the most powerless people of Israel. And ultimately, for that, he suffers horrendously. To the temptation to create a show of God's power for his own glory, he says this, "Do not put the Lord your God to the test." Trusting God doesn't mean acting stupidly and trying to force God into performing a spectacular rescue. A rescue needed because we've created a mess, carelessly or even deliberately. We are not to test God this way. We've been talking about the upside down kingdom. And once again, Jesus reveals the upside down nature of his kingdom. Rather than a God, little g God, who dominates other people, this is the Son of God who comes to serve, no matter the cost. And in so doing, he overcomes the temptation that is common to us. He shares our temptations, our humanity, our limited human flesh, and our frailty. We won't be tempted in exactly the same ways as Jesus, because our temptations will be tailored to our values and our hopes and our hidden ambitions. If we want to know, and often we don't, I often don't want to know, But our temptations will in fact reveal what matters the most to us. The areas in our lives where we are continually tempted are in the places that we truly value. Not the things we say we value, but the things that we really value will be where we experience temptation. Our deepest ambitions, our secret hopes, our unspoken dreams. The Spirit can transform temptation into self-knowledge if we let Him, if we're willing. Wisdom is about our own darkness. We're missing the point, though, if we believe that temptation is something we deal with alone. We don't. For this we have the Spirit. Did you notice that in our passage today, it began with the observation, Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, left the Jordan. He was full of the Spirit. That was part of how he was able to face down that temptation and come out the other side victorious without sinning. And our passage, and your Bible will have your break in a different place, but it finishes this way. Jesus returned to Galilee in the power of the Spirit. Jesus was able to resist sin, resist temptation through the work of the Spirit. The empowering of the Holy Spirit is at the centre of our battle against temptation. This is the place of prayer and throwing ourselves onto the mercy of God. And it doesn't have to mean elaborate prayers, just the desperation of, I'm losing this battle, God, help. Fill me anew with your Spirit. Strengthen me in this battle. If you think of Paul's letter to the Ephesians, at the very end it tells us how to put on armour against the deceit of the evil one, against the temptations that beset us daily. Make no mistake, you have a huge stake in the battle against temptation. It might feel like the easy option to give in to temptation. But you and I both know that our lives will be shaped, our victories and our losses, by how we deal with these temptations. At the end of the day, in the middle of the night, in the restlessness of our own hearts, the things that we deeply regret will often come back to a failure in how we dealt with our secret temptations. It's daytime right now, and I don't want us to just go on and finish the service. I want to give us a couple of minutes to face those temptations, to let the Spirit name them for what they are, and for us to give them to God, to accept the offer that came from God's peace child, to forgive ourselves where we need to, and then I will pray. Let's take that time now. Oh God, we thank you that you are the light of the world. And we pray that you will continue to shine into our darkness, that you will show us the places where we are in danger of falling, that you would forgive us our sins, that you would fill us afresh with your Spirit, and that you would strengthen our resolve to follow you with all of our heart and soul and mind and body. For Jesus' sake. Amen.